from the comforts of your camp. You look around and notice that the light is already growing dim. It is just another evening, a suitable time for repose. Additionally, the forests are foggy and misty, reducing visibility. It would be better to relax here until eventually dawn's morning light will cut those mists and make trips out into the wider world more feasible. So, you adjust the blankets on your comfortable, prepared bedroll and lie down in luxurious softness. It's taken a while to set up, after all. This is a safe place from which journeys can be launched. But the choice to avoid a journey can be just as important. Either you will be allowed time to rest, or something will come to you. As your eyes flutter closed, you slide sleepier down. And it is a long while later, feeling rested and renewed, that you also get the sense you ought to wake up. A peculiar purple light on the outside of your eyelids causes you to open them. Mist has descended over the campground. This is a peaceful place, familiar. Even as you look around, though, something is different. A sense of being watched, but a comfortable one. One that resonates with certain arousing parts of your psyche which were already on display when you awoke. For how long has some primal pull been faintly activating your arousal, your movement, your inspection of your surroundings? It feels like the air is hot, though it should be chill. And the moon overhead has taken on a strange violet hue. The path nearby, which leads to the perimeter of your camp, and is normally so clear and smooth with frequent usage, is covered in verdant, growing vines, green and lush. In fact, they are supple, dripping with liquid, wet. The air around them is humid and moist. As you approach, it seems like the most natural thing in the world to simply rise up on your knees and then shuffle your way closer. The night is a strange one, a warm wind, misty, cloying. That purple light everywhere, seeming to come both from above and from the vines of the twisting vegetation which has newly taken up residence near your camp. There is a mist in the air that limits your vision to the little circle of light surrounding the vines and their source. At the middle of the ring of vines, which stir slightly at your approach, how did these grow overnight? There is a large orange pumpkin. Now, most vegetation in this area is pretty healthy, and unusually mobile, and unambiguously sexual. But that would not account for this. This life is too verdant, too focused. The vines seem to turn to watch you. You feel as if you are privy to something different, something ancient and powerful around the vines and the plant. They are moving, but every time they stir, you also feel a hot pulse between your legs and a desire to splay your stance wider, to show off for it, which is a strange impulse. It is only a pumpkin after all. You advance closer, and the vines part to welcome you, laying themselves out in straight lines, creating a green carpet between where you were and where that large, vibrant orange pumpkin is sitting. Lying on the ground, vines beneath it running off in all directions, stirring and yet welcoming. Sure, it's a very active pumpkin, but it is not behaving like the local tentacle beasts. Rather than pursue, it is waiting, like a true hunter. That thought feels odd when it crosses your mind. Did it come from you or from somewhere, something else? Tentatively, you find yourself close enough to inspect it. It is obscenely sensual. The flesh is vibrant orange, but some glistening juice runs over both the plant and the vines around it, like sweat or juices, definitely alive. A vibrant, ripe plant which draws one closer with its juiciness. The scent is not just of living plants, but of spices, of the pumpkin and of heat, a heat that creeps under your collar. You flush and move a little nearer to inspect it in detail, to notice the delicate curve of the flesh, the suppleness of it all. A whispering at the edge of hearing welcomes and invites. Then you notice the stem. At the top of the plant, the stem of this pumpkin is actually a supple glistening length, a long, rigid shaft with a bulbous curve at the top, definitely and definitively shaped like a cock, sticking up into the air. It oozes that same liquid from the tip, the one you see all over the plant. Lower down, you notice a slit, a vertical line in the pumpkin, as though it had been incised for carving. But as you watch, the edges of that slit plump up and spread outward. It opens, and a gush of that same fluid pools to the ground. The scent of pumpkin pie, coupled with a faint cinnamon spice, invades your senses. You extend one tentative finger, scooping up the juice as the mists swirl around you, and the warmth of this area contrasts with the cooler night without. Scooping up the juices and licking. Where the idea to do so came from, you'll never know, but it is something you'll regard as a good idea once you taste the delicious, spiced tang sliding across your tongue. Prepared and cooked pumpkin, sure, but also that hint of cinnamon and sugar underlying it, a temptation. It is refreshing at the same time it draws you in. The slit is still puffing up, however, and when you felt it, it felt like supple flesh. Parted feminine labia are forming, smaller lips inside. The entire slit is purplish in hue, dripping. The light you saw in the sky above and moving in from the mist around emanates also from within. The folds are beckoning. Juice is drooling obscenely from it. The inside appears tight and welcoming, even as the stem above firms up into rigidness. You spend a moment studying that stem. The lengthy shaft of the plant's protrusion is upthrust and perfectly smooth, drooling lubricant, the juice moving downward. You feel a faint warm tingle on both your tongue and your lips, as well as on the finger you use to probe the juices in the slit. Accordingly, you have to wonder what it would feel like to have those juices against your body, to explore it in more detail, the heat and sensitivity that might creep in. It looks as though the pumpkin is equally prepared to be filled or to fill someone. But the choice seems to be yours. The vines are remaining distant, welcoming, waiting, allowing you to make the first move, if any. The vines have formed a circle around you on the ground. This is your private, safe place anyway, but it would be somewhat difficult for people to see in with the mists. There's relative privacy here. Accordingly, despite the fact it would look quite ridiculous to the onlooker, it is a tempting idea for you. to pleasure yourself with such arousal already percolating in your system. After all, you've turned on from that one little lick of the juices. What if you drank even more, as you used this strange plant for your pleasure? It would not be the first sexual plant here on the border of the forest to be usable for such a thing. Nonetheless, it bears further inspection before you dive right in, that is. Although obviously you are going to slide your warm cock into its confines, the idea seems right. There is a primal urge to claim and yet be claimed by the warm wetness within, to come in that pumpkin. The idea is ridiculous, but in the safety of your camp you allow it to flow across your mind. And having come this far, you're beginning to suspect there may be some lust-enhancing aspect to the scent, the sight, even the purple light on the pumpkin, and certainly the taste of that nectar. A little bit imbued with sensual temptation. Your skin is flushing and you already need relief. You are rigid and hard, and after surveilling the welcoming confines of that pumpkin slit, the possibility of merely using your hand on yourself to get off is unthinkable. But, safety first, you decide to get a better look before proceeding. Curious and yet aroused. If this is some kind of tentacle beast, that's fine enough. They only ravish. They never seriously hurt anyone. They want their food sources to come back, after all. You part the pliable flesh with your fingers. The lips had already been weeping fluid, and parting themselves ever since you began inspecting it, as if welcoming you inside. That has you concerned. Quite apart from the oddness of it all, would such a wide-open, blatantly, obscenely sexual pussy even squeeze your cock tight enough? Then again, the inside is always a little tighter. Experimentally, you probe one finger within. Instantly, the walls begin suckling on your digit, as if trying to drink from it, constrain it, merge with it. The movement is such that if you try to push your finger in deeper, the lips become looser to let you in, then they tighten when you try to withdraw, or if you just sit still within, your finger being sucked and coated in that lubricant, and yet tightly held in place by rings of tissue, which move forward and back, milking and stroking. Still, the pumpkin seems relatively weak. You can easily dislodge your finger from its silken vise with a simple pop sound and a trickle of fluid. Experimentally, you bring said finger up and automatically suck the juices from it. Something in the way they glistened tempted you to do it. The spicy tang of cinnamon and pumpkin pie flows down your throat, a faint dopey grin finding its way to your lips, and then being dismissed as you inspect more closely. Parting the purplish flesh of the internal lips, you look inside. It seems quite deep, and the walls contort and move at your attention, always rippling inward, beckoning and welcoming. Imagining how it would feel to have that wrapped around your length makes you even harder. It seems perfectly designed for pleasure. The folds yield when you push inward, but hold you inside if they can. Then they would begin to move. You insert one and then a second digit, and the plant pussy expands to receive. It sucks on your fingers all the while, and as it does so, it contorts toward them, pushing in to fit them, no matter how small or how large you know, it would fit perfectly. The residue when you withdraw both digits is the perfect lubricant. You suck them clean again with little thought, and then stand a little closer to it. You dangle your cock above the plant, although really it's so hard it's pointing up at an angle, swaying to and fro, not inserted yet. The vines of the plant shiver, you would say with anticipation, but it might be strange to ascribe such motive to a mere receptacle for your use, and that's what you're coming to think of it as, a toy or a tool to give you pleasure, which it seems to want to. The air is on fire with a sexual ache. Merely standing next to the plant is like being immersed in a sauna. No cold can touch you, only comfortable warmth. You are rigidly hard, taking hold of your hard shaft, feeling every bulging vein stand out against your hand. You actually have to push it downward a bit in order to aim and angle it and press it up against the entrance. Instantly and eagerly it parts, the folds moving back and dilating open, to let you thrust inside. It lets forth a gush of that delicious, sweet, eager nectar, which flows down the side of the rind. Tentatively you push the head inside. Instantly the flesh forms a vacuum seal, sucking the tip of your cock. The inside is humid and soaked with that spicy wetness, which runs down your shaft in nectar rivulets, the fluid being the only thing able to escape the tight seal formed around your head. You think about putting another inch inside, it feels so good, and you only got the tip in. As if reading your mind, it opens, spreading like the petals of a flower, keeping just enough of the flesh in contact with your shaft, in contact with the tip, your slit, the little muscular backing underneath, the little ridge under the head, everything being squeezed, but you know it's loose enough that you could thrust right in if you wanted to. That brief looseness lets you shove in another inch, but when it closes back up, the petals try to pull you further in, the ridges inside wet and warm, like tongues or fingers, but infinitely better. The interior simulates many different sensations. You suspect vines inside the plant are actually merging and connecting, making the illusion of walls and folds squirming around you. Then the pleasure begins again in earnest, and this kind of coherent, reflective thought is lost to you. Your cock is being inspected now. The plant's purple slit has grown more vibrant in color. First it feels as if many little tongues, marinated in that pumpkin-spiced fluid which the plant is sweating with, are licking your shaft. They explore the groove under the head, flick over the slit and sensitive glands tissue. They lick the limited amount of your veiny, hard flesh that they have been allowed to touch. Then, like a masturbation tool, or two fingers held in a circle, the inside begins to move forward then back in a ring wrapped around your cock, but lubricated and warm. There's only a tiny bit of you inside, but even on those few inches, the feeling is phenomenal. It won't stop. Whatever this plant is, it is built to give you the maximum possible pleasure. Feels like tongues, then it feels like fingers, suddenly more like real folds, squeezing so tight, almost enough to finish you off, just on the line between too tight and maximum pleasure. It never ceases trying to pull more of you in. When it feels like licking tongues, it tries to tempt you to thrust further by keeping the largest tongue flicking you from out of reach. You dreamily wonder what it would be like to press forward, the bulbous mushroom of your cock head moving onto the broad, flat surface. But you suppose you should maintain some kind of control and composure, rather than just dive in. The moment that thought crosses your mind, you suddenly push yourself forward. You don't really know why you did it, but the plant goes wild. The vines move. It seems to be sucking itself onto your shaft. A few drops of your pre-cum ooze out as every inch of your length is kissed with warm, squeezing wetness. It seems to grow brighter, and the glow enhances as well. Then it pursues you once more. The folds inside are sucked tight against you, so tight that withdrawing is tough, and once you do, it'll just become looser to invite you back in. You do manage to pull back on your hips, but your tongue's starting to hang out. You thrust forward once more the moment your head was the only thing inside. Then all of you is inside. There is an obscene smack as your thighs hit against the outside shell of the pumpkin, but your cock is hilted inside of it, the entire shaft being lovingly caressed, suckled, forcibly drawn further, and that's just right. You continue to pull out a little. Your cock feels incredible with the friction. Stroke, stroke, squeeze, clench. There is nothing but constant movement inside, designed to massage your shaft. Your head is being vacuum-sucked within, the tip being licked, and even if you stayed still within the plant, you'd still feel it stroking you off instead. You could just lie on top of the pumpkin with your shaft inside, and it would do all the work. You know somehow it would be happy to do so. It exists for pleasuring and causing you to come. You know that coming inside of it is very important. You don't know why, but you know your seed would nourish it. Coming in it would feel incredible and make you feel good. Make you feel so good to satisfy your purpose. Your cock trapped within. Not really trapped because you can pull out, but why would you ever refrain from thrusting back in when thrusting makes your entire cock go through the limited, warm ring of licking flesh inside, which then sucks vacuum tight and massages in all directions at once, stroking and yet pushing your cock up and down to make the muscles at the base sing into your spine, your pleasure centers, your clenching buttocks, your thrusting hips. The vines are moving around you, too. They've wrapped around your arms, companionably, comfortably, caressing you with that same lubricated motion and a feeling like a lover's caress. One moves over your chin, too, tracing your jawline. You once more consider pulling your cock out, at least so you can think clearly enough to inspect your surroundings. It is dark and misty, after all. Almost at the instant that you think that, the vine snakes up to your lips. You attempt to close them, but it is faster. It is well lubricated and slips right between your closed lips. You consider biting down, but the material just moves under your teeth. Then the tip begins to gush that same delicious fluid you tasted earlier, sweetness and spice flowing down your throat. You swallow without thinking. Your mouth is too full of the stuff. It tastes good. You have to breathe. You feel fine putting it down into your throat. It flows into your stomach with a warm, restorative feeling. Your cock seems to grow even harder, your balls expanding a little. You'd had a few licks before, but this is a full mouthful. Your jaw muscles become slack. Biting down is no longer in your head as an idea. Your cock is in a rigid rut. It feels way too hard. The gushing pussy is taking care of that fairly quickly, though. You can already feel the mounting sensation in your buttocks and lower back. Thrusting is a good idea. Thrusting is the only idea. You hear a smack, smack, smack sound, and it actually takes a while to remember that this is because you are fucking your way into that warm, wet, squeezing hole. Your hips are thrusting. Your cock is drooling pre-cum in a steady stream, just as that pumpkin juice is streaming down your throat, making you harder and hotter. You can feel the cum being sucked off of your cock, in the way the pumpkin sucks every drop off of you. It is becoming healthier and larger each second that you drip into it. You wonder how good it will feel when you gush. With that fluid flowing down your throat, the question of if is no longer on your mind. Your mouth is hanging open, the vine resting on your tongue, gushing its sweet nectar. Pumpkin and cinnamon conflict on your palate, with a sugary sweetness over all, and a hot flush under your collar. A sudden knowledge, whispering on the edge of hearing, informs you that you are getting close. However, did you not realize? Well, no resisting now. Wet smacks of your thighs against it echo. You notice it has pulled you all the way in and gotten tight. You're locked in. There's a ring of flesh around the base of your shaft, holding back your orgasm like a cock ring. You were staring vacantly ahead. But now, a welcome pair of vines scratch behind your ears, then loop around them and gently transfix your head pointed slightly downward, allowing your eyes to see the pussy you have entered in greater detail. Your vision is being directed at it, allowing you to see the obscene pleasure, your entry into the slit. It has come alive, sweating and gushing, copious liquid. The air is filled with sweetness. You wonder if it's affecting your libido. Well, no, it is certainly affecting your libido. The stuff flowing gently down your throat is doing so on a much greater level, though. You're rock hard, and if the top wall of the pumpkin's drooling snatch were not holding you down, your cock would be upthrust so hard it was slapping your belly button with eagerness. Whether it is affecting you through the hot, licking, sucking moisture within, or through skin contact, or through the long, deep, shuddering, pleasured breaths you are taking of that spicy pumpkin scent, and the gulping, thirsty breaths to consume more. No matter what the cause, your aroused musk is filling the air and mingling with the mists, the spice, and the sound of obscene, smacking thrusts. But really, what is so obscene about it all? Isn't this just the natural order? For you to be preyed upon and supply your cum in worshipful adulation to the hot, tight, squeezing, milking hole that has entrapped your cock. Either way, you continue to move on automatic. Your hips thrust and a compulsion to seek orgasm combines with the way the muscular ring at the entrance to the glistening slit is squeezing the base of your cock, preventing said orgasm from fully materializing. The shaft is hanging on the edge. The tip and every bit of the ridge underneath are being explored. Your buttocks are clenched, your flesh sweating despite the cool night. The sensitivity has been ratcheted up by that liquid. Here it is not cool at all. You're alive and smelling of sex and sweetness and spice. Your thrusting never ceases, forward and back. You'd be coming if only it would let you. The glistening, sweating moisture with its sweet, spicy scent is glowing in the purple light, which you have now gathered is coming from the mist itself. Purple light is hitting the moisture in odd patterns, and your eyes are transfixed, both on the wet, squeezing folds that have enraptured your cock, on the movement against your shaft and the way you can see fluid dappling it every time you pull out, on the way you know you will automatically thrust forward again. Interrupting the motion would be impossible. All of it visible in that faint purple pallor over the entire scene, inescapable. You watch even now as the patterns seem to oscillate and converge, and since you are unable to move your head away, you are forced to watch them even as you watch your cock move in and out, glistening and shifting. They seem to have a power all their own, those patterns of the light, holding your eyes in place, so that though your eyelids grow heavy, they are nonetheless transfixed and locked there on the fleshy opening that you are filling, on the obscene spiced fluid flowing down the side of the pumpkin, on the sparkling light. And even as you watch yourself thrust again and again, thinking how hot it is, how drawn you are to that slit. Your upper body, the part containing your mind, and also that the vines have bound your arms upon, and the whispers and taste of that spice are invading. That upper body seems entirely separate from your lower body's sensations. Your upper body is being held in place, caressed, encouraged, whispered to, held, massaged, but your lower body must continue thrusting to satisfy that creeping desire to come in it. Something will happen when you do. Nature itself is leaning in expectantly. The wind sighs through the trees, and the ground glows in the purple light. An oppressive warmth continues to touch you, never changing except to grow more insistent and more sexually charged. Your eyes refuse to move away, both held in place by the gentle vines and drawn into the spiraling lights, forming their patterns across the flesh of the pumpkin and the obscene smacking of your hips against the fleshy exterior. It has become steadily more supple, more sweated with that perfect fluid. So seen in the glistening light, you might imagine you were thrusting into a lover's supple thighs, glistening in the moonlight. albeit a lover with purplish skin and an unholy, hot and tight pussy, squelching with your mingled desire. The powerful purple patterns drawing you in, the drooling precum from your cock, pooling inside, adding to the liquid presence of the lubrication from the plant itself. Your buttocks are clenched, your body is prepared. There is a mounting feeling that soon you will come. You feel the white-hot need pulse in your brain, and gradually you move toward it. Thrust, thrust, as if you were ascending towards some height, being changed by the procedure, the suckling within the pumpkin contrasting with your more physical, broader movements. Every time you pull your hips away, it's as if you're saying goodbye to an old friend, and every time you thrust forward, they are very, very happy to see one another. Not just a physical, sexual fulfillment, but a mental fulfillment as well. You know this is right. The plant responds to you. It welcomes you and wants you. It wants your cum. You feel the juices that have been flowing into your stomach through the long-forgotten vine resting on your tongue. They're making your balls tense up. The aphrodisiac presence is rendering you almost insensate with joy and desire. Your cock is rock-hard. And then the spurting begins. Like little levers being tripped in your brain, the inside of the pumpkin begins to vibrate and shudder, as if having its own orgasmic response. It loves the taste of your cream. Your buttocks clench, gusher after gusher, unnaturally fueled by the lubricant you have been drinking down, flows from you, tripping all the pleasure sensors inside of your shaft. The head, the little slit, parts, and you squirt, filling it up. You can feel your own cum around your cock, filling your partner, and it sucks on you, forming a vacuum around your cock, which in your post-orgasmic sensitivity pulls all your cream deeper and makes your hips and legs shiver deeper into its recesses with unnatural suction, or perhaps very natural. Your eyes still notice the purple patterns, transfixed. But then, as your cock is shuddering and spurting its last, a hand lays on one of your shoulders, a pale white hand with long black nails, carefully angled. She gently prods you. The woman your cock is now inside has long orange hair, so long it forms a blanket she is lying on the ground, with you atop her. She is so pale that her skin takes on the purple of the light. She is gorgeous, a symmetrical, perfect, inhuman beauty. She has a button nose and predatory, glowing red eyes. Her lips are gorgeous, blood-filled crimson. Her hair shimmers and moves of its own accord in an unseen wind. Her pussy is now even hotter than it was when it was in the other form. It glistens and squeezes, already forcing your flagging rigidness back toward full-on, hard, pointed need. Her own perky nipples are pulling the flesh of her modest chest up against them with their pointed arousal. But you get a sense she could really look any way she wanted to. And she speaks from those blood-red lips, her voice echoing from the air as well, not merely coming from her mouth. I am Farah, goddess of the predatory hunt. Her voice is like teeth at the nape of your neck, like claws across your back and a possessive growl at your ear. I am here, tonight and only tonight, a rarity. She rolls her hips and licks her lips. Her body goes from laid back where the pumpkin was to vertical in one unnatural gravity-defying motion. Her legs are wrapped around your waist and locked behind your buttocks, holding you inside of her as her flesh begins to roil inside, the pleats of her internal contours moving, squeezing, shifting, inspecting your cock and pointing it one way and the other. You can still feel your own seed inside of her, but you know that not one drop has escaped, being held, trapped, prey. Her arms lay over your shoulders. Her entrance is incredibly tight. She grips against you. She holds herself to you. Though plush and wet and comfortable, her control over your cock is ironclad. Pulling backwards or remaining flaccid will be impossibilities before the godlike snatch wrapped around you. She is tight and warm, and your flagging cock restores entirely, swimming in your own seed. Ooh, you are a virile specimen, aren't you? Though I gave you some help. The vine slips out of your mouth, but just as quickly she captures your lips. Her own redness is plush and soft. Her breath is hot, unnaturally so. She pushes her tongue in, capturing yours, twining around it with serpentine grace, then withdrawing with a gentle nip to your lip, and then a sharper one to the side of your neck, not enough to break the skin, but enough to leave a little red hickey when she pulls away, and the gentle scratch of her fanged incisors. When she leans back, though, it is only to keep her arms wrapped behind your head, and then, placing her hands on your shoulders, she begins to lift herself with minimal effort and drop right back onto your cock, which now, true to form, is pointing upward at an angle, allowing her to let gravity do most of the work. She's rolling her hips into it, so that on each rise she's still holding most of it in her, and each time she falls, she rolls her hips until her entrance and the little ring of muscle there is right against your base. The whole time she's squeezing and suckling, with a muscular control that is wholly unnatural. Her dark nails gently, almost lovingly scratch down your back. Up close, you can feel her breasts against you. Her body is fit, muscular, perfectly smooth. This is no mortal entity, marred and imperfect. A creature of lethe grace whose skin is warm as a hot bath and smooth as a marble sculpture. She has a moment's scratch across your back, a moment's discomfort. Then something warm spreads through the scratches, and there is nothing but bliss. Your breathing becomes more relaxed, your body more pliant to her movement. No longer content to simply raise and lower herself, she commands thrust. And it is a voice of command, ancient and seeming to come from everywhere at once. Mindlessly you are gripping her hips. You do not push her away, but let her use the leverage of your hands to push her own hips away and come slamming back. Oh, I am usually sealed away, she explains, all because I sided with the more sexually liberated people here in Mareth. She rolls her hips again and again, and you, my prey, are participating in an ancient ritual, rolling her hips again and again, for fertility and good harvest. Of a different sort. I will leave my gift, and it will draw me back here next year. But now, just enjoy. As she does roll her hips, her corrupt fluids run down your thighs, trickling to pool below the two of you, and join the spicy scent from the pumpkin before. The air is scented with cinnamon and sweetness. The heat of a sauna is now intensified. Where she's wrapped around you, she does feel like a hot bath. She loosens her feet from behind you and rolls her body forward. You move backward, finding that her hair has wrapped around behind, seeming to lengthen and fall under you, so you lie back onto the divine softness, and yet you feel possessed, held, controlled, encircled in her, the purple and orange mingling into patterns and spirals, drawing you in. When she lowers you, she sits atop, and begins by placing her knees on her own hair, and then rising and falling. But that's not enough. She buries you in her, and yet manages to roll her hips so expertly, so flexibly, that you slide halfway out, then back in, again and again, without ever really bringing her thighs out of contact with you, up and down with unnatural speed, slamming and working to coat and coax a second orgasm from your beleaguered body. She rolls her hips side to side now, so one of her knees is in contact with your body, then the other, moving back and forth, the long orange hair wrapping around your arms, holding them to your side, holding you down. You can already feel the cum boiling in your balls, wanting to well up and fill her, but then she reaches behind her and grabs your balls gently, cupping them below, massaging them. They seem to grow to fill her. Vines wrap around her form, helping to raise and lower her. Only her vibrant orange hair and spicy scent remind you of what she was when she was not all the way in this world. Your seed has allowed me entry, and your lust as well, so I will give you a boon and leave something of me in you. Then when I want to return next time, I will return near to you. You take in her appearance, those high, pert breasts, her perfect lips. She could appear any way she wanted, but this is quite pleasing. Your balls are growing to fill her hand. The pleasure and sensitivity of just being inside her, while her insides roll and stroke you base to front, again and again up the shaft, accentuating every vein, exploring under your head, stroking and stroking, endlessly, mercilessly. Your balls filling her hands and feeling hot and ready. You know you're going to come. You can see the moon beginning to go down and the purple light is fading. Her vines are receding. She ceases her frantic riding. And then, your sensitive nerves singing regret and thanks at the withdrawal, she moves her literally divine pussy away from the length of your cock, leaving it pert and firm. With one last motion, she reaches down and grips it in her pale hand, strokes, and she commands once more in that voice, "Come!" Not one drop of your cum escapes her notice. Her mouth opens, gripping the tip of your cock just as you spurt, rocking your hips into her. Her lips are even better somehow, the heat of them. Her tongue wraps around your cock like a corkscrew from tip to base and begins stroking it into her own mouth, in tandem with a hand that moves aside then returns. You see her in the light, the purple spangling off her hair, which drapes over your crotch, under you, almost concealing your cock from view, but you can practically see her mouth bulging, because those balls she has enhanced are burning with heat and need. You spurt what feels like 10, even more, coming and coming and coming, spurts of cum that pool in her mouth and then are swallowed down in a vacuum of energy and need. "See you next year," she says. You memorize everything. Nothing escapes Farah that she doesn't want to escape. She stands in the light, showing you her tongue with your whiteness on it, her slightly distended belly, which instantly returns to its flat, taut former form. Your balls empty for now, but you can already feel them refilling. You see her body, her breasts, her perfect skin, her smile with white fangs and red lips, orange hair falling to her waist now, but it could be any length. The vines vanish. She fades. Put the gift I gave you to good use. I'm sure you will. As she fades, she would seem to almost be a mere memory, if not for your cock already getting hard, your balls seeming to be swollen, and you knowing that next time you come, you're going to be especially productive. Maybe around this time next year, you'll even save it up for a few days to give her a good, firm load. You can still feel the moisture on your shaft, the fullness of your belly with the juices and aphrodisiac, the delicious taste of pumpkin, the moist patch on the ground smelling of spice. You return slowly toward the middle of camp, shivering with need. The predatory look in her eye is still with you. You are marked, and there really isn't any going back. You can feel the little nip on the side of your neck. Whether that's a good thought or not will depend on what she meant about her return and how you deal with your swollen, productive balls. No matter what follows, no matter what you do, you're going to find them aching with the memory of her, with the marking on your rigid shaft, The way she squeezed. The way her eyes alighted on you. Possessive. Comfortable. Lithe. Flexible. Sensual. You'll even find yourself thinking of that pumpkin positively. How sexy it looked in the light. How it cradled your cock until it could finish summoning the goddess from whom it was a mere protrusion into this dimension. How perfectly you long for the return. And you know that your balls, swollen, roiling with seed, productively bouncing below your already hardening cock, will be looking forward to the next time they can fill her up sufficiently. Maybe even without her help. Somehow it's very important to prove yourself to her. And the aching memory, and the faint feel of enhanced libido and corruption, cling to you in the wake of her visit. The path from your campsite is bare, but there are enough physical signs to be sure. This was no mere dream. And if you strain to listen, on cold nights with full moons overhead, you can faintly hear her appreciative chuckle, or the dripping of your own fluid in your balls, answering her primal call from across the dimensional veil. And now...